This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Row One Seat One podcast. We are still under Corona break, but things seem to be looking up a little bit. And one guy who has actually seen his career look up, and maybe one of the very few people whose career has been looking up during this Corona break, has been Alan Angels. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah,
glad to be on.
You've been a rocket ship during this this break due to some of your work in AEW. You were ostensibly brought on as a jobber, but you actually kind of, I've heard a lot of people go, who's this Alan Angels guy? Where did he come out of? So, man, you got some buzz going for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or anything. I was like the most talked about thing in wrestling for like a few days, you know, which is insane. My social media like doubled in followers and stuff like that after the Kenny match. And you know, Dave Meltzer said I was a good worker and all that good stuff. So, you know, all good exposure.
That's awesome. So tell me about, you know, how you kind of fell in love with wrestling, because everyone I've talked to has said Alan Angels is a single-minded guy. He loves wrestling more than anything. Wrestling is his thing. When did wrestling become a thing for you?
When I was about, I would say, 7, and then I really got into it when I was about 8 or 9. You messaged me, I guess this morning. You're like, what's some interesting stuff about you, besides wrestling? And I was like, I'm honestly not that interesting of a guy. I just kind of, I literally just watch wrestling all the time. You know, I don't, since quarantine started, I've had a chance to, kind of pick up a few of my old hobbies that I had in school and stuff like that, but like video games and music and all that good stuff. But honestly, man, like, as soon as I graduated from high school, I started wrestling maybe 2 months later.
Who were your
so,
guys when you were
yeah,
growing
I started
up?
In like... July of 2016, and I've been just wrestling ever since, so I haven't had much time to, you know, really do much else.
Who were your guys when you were growing up? Like, who were the wrestlers that made you fall in love with wrestling?
Well, my first favorite wrestler, because when I was 7, 8, we only had we didn't have cable, so we only got to see SmackDown because it was on I think UPN at the time or something like that, and it was like on a local channel, so we got to watch SmackDown. So my first favorite was Rey Mysterio, and I'm not sure, I guess, you know, just the what every kid likes, colorful with the mask and the, you know, acrobatics and all that good stuff. And then once I was able to start watching Raw, Shawn Michaels. I feel like that's like a generic answer nowadays. Everybody says Shawn Michaels is like their favorite, but he's just so good at like...
No, he spoke to some people, man. He like, especially like kids of that age, like he was a magician.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like generations, like people that like were starting in the late 90s looked up to, you know, Shawn Michaels, and I started in the late 2010s, and I looked up to Shawn Michaels. So that's 20 years of, you know, new wrestlers just, you know, watching that guy and really studying him and being, you know, their favorites. It's pretty insane. You know, he had a good promo, but I think where he connected with people was in the ring, and I think I look at Shawn as like one of the true artists of pro wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are guys that are good at, you know, just like The Rock and Stone Cold, nothing against them or anything, but I look at Shawn as like an artist of pro wrestling. You know, he looks at it, he dissects every little thing about wrestling, as far as selling, getting sympathy as a babyface and getting heat as a heel, and like how to do that in the best way in the ring, with his body language and with his facial expressions, you know.
Well, the one thing he does is he tells a story. You know,
yeah.
He is, you know, maybe one of the premier storytellers, you know, beginning to end in a match. You know, he's going to weave a tale.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he had a little play a little 30-minute documentary. Or I don't even know if it was a documentary, but like on the WWE Network about his match with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21, and just listening to him like dissect that match, him and Kurt dissecting that match for 30 minutes, just talking about the buildup and like the storytelling that went into the buildup and the match itself. It was really interesting.
And that match was in your wheelhouse growing up, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My favorite match of all time is Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. But Kurt Angle and Shawn are definitely up there for sure.
The first one or the second one?
What's that?
The first one?
Yeah, the first one. Because to me and AC Mack, you know, me and him have arguments about this, which one was better. But to me, the first one just had that, like, feeling of just, like, raw, like, emotion, and like the fans were into it. Not that the fans weren't into the second one, but like sometimes I feel like the fans are almost forced to be into matches. I hate when like I feel like fans are forcibly like forced to chant this is awesome or like, you know, whatever.
Well, that WrestleMania crowd is weird anyways, because there's like so many people and it's a stadium crowd and they're from all around the world, and it's just like you can't use that crowd as a litmus test for anything really, because it's such a weird crowd.
Yeah, they have to legitimately be into it, and I feel like WrestleMania 25 they were legitimately into it, whereas WrestleMania 26 they had expectations that I feel like even Shawn and The Undertaker couldn't uphold, even though, you know, they might have at the end of it all, because it is considered one of the best matches of all time as well. But that first one, I think wasn't as expected to be amazing, you know, even with the great buildup that they had. But like that and like JR on commentary, just like losing his mind, you know, JR wasn't on commentary on the second one. You know, it's crazy how much a commentator will do.
Oh, completely. And we see that, I mean, even now we see that with independent wrestling, I mean, it really makes or breaks a match.
Yeah. I love Dylan Hales on commentary, because he legitimately gets into it, you know?
Way to kiss ass.
Hey, I'm not kissing ass. I'm just saying. I've told him this to his face.
No, he's very good. He's actually very good.
Yeah. He puts himself over, too. Mm-hmm. He'll tell me. He'll be like, I think I'm one of the better independent commentators. I agree.
No, he's very good. He's and he's one of my best friends, but he's also like, if he sucked, I'd tell him, but he's actually very good.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he gets into it, you know, and he just, like, he will completely wig out when something cool is going on. And you need that sometimes. Like, one of my guys growing up was Joey Styles, and Joey Styles would lose his shit. Just, like, at the coolest stuff. And then that gave me permission to lose my shit.
Right.
You know, it's just like, wow, this is a big moment, and I can completely just let my emotions go. Because I have permission to do so now. You know,
if he wasn't actually into it, he did a damn good job of convincing you that he was.
Yeah. Yeah. So were you just a WWE kid, or was it like, did you go back and, like, you know, I may be dating myself here, but I was the kid who went to the video store and went back and looked at all the old tapes and stuff like that. And like, did you do a deep dive on Shawn Michaels when you were old enough to go to the video store? Or like, did you search torrents on the web and you know, and you were a kid and stuff like that? Or, you know. Were you doing your research?
Yeah, for sure. I was definitely when I was real young. A lot of old stuff was on like YouTube and stuff, and I remember
God, you're so
watching
young.
Like, but it would be like bootleg, so it would be like really bad quality stuff. But I would always like buy DVDs from WWE shop or whatever, watch ECW and WCW stuff. I tried to get as many DVDs as I could, like old stuff, and mostly like '90s stuff, and then. Once I got older, I actually also watched like TNA back in the day, like 2006, 2007. And we actually went to Bound for Glory in 2007 because it was in Atlanta. And that was really cool.
Who was on that card?
So, you know, kind of exposing myself to the independent scene, I guess if you want to call that independent, was a big thing, I think, in me deciding to be a wrestler, because it was like, there's like levels to this, you know, it really opened my eyes to there being, you know, levels to what we do. And like also seeing AJ Styles, like, I don't know, something about him. He's always been one of my favorites, even since like 2007 because my dad actually worked with his aunt at a little gum factory, and she gave us tickets to that show. So that was pretty cool.
So yeah, I would say who was on that show, because like that was 2006, 2007. So that was like the prime of TNA at the time.
Yeah.
Was that like Joe and Angle and all them too?
Yeah, yeah. It was. I think the main. I want to say the main was Angle and Sting.
Oh, sick.
I think, and then I remember there was an Ultimate X match with LAX versus someone. I don't remember, but then AJ and Tomko were a team, and they wrestled someone, but I don't remember who they wrestled, but they won the tag team titles, and I remember that being like a big thing.
Tyson Tomko.
Yeah.
That's a name I haven't thought of in ages. That's a guy who is a wrestler.
Right.
My God. Yeah, AJ, like, it can't be understated, especially to Georgia guys, like how much of an influence and a hero that AJ Styles was and is, because that's local guy does good, you know, local guy has made it, and he's made it to the absolute top, and he's made it in every promotion in the world, and he's done everything and anything in the wrestling business, and he started from the ground up, and he's a genuine human being, and he's a real person, and like that's the model, you know, especially for Georgia guys.
Yeah, he was definitely like a big thing, especially when I was a kid, and just like everybody loved, and like, you know, there are guys like Sting and like, you know, Cody who are from Georgia, but like, you know, they're not like, I don't know, something about AJ is just like homegrown Georgia guy, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, AJ's wearing like UGA colors on his fucking trunks and stuff like that. You're like, AJ,
right?
Like he's skipping wrestling to go to Bulldogs games and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, when WWE came to Atlanta a few years ago, he had a shirt that was exclusively sold at the stands in the Phillips Arena or whatever State Farm Arena, and it was like Georgia colors and stuff.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, because like a lot of the, you know, obviously with WCW being in Georgia, like there's a lot of guys who like relocated to Georgia, but he's the homegrown guy. You know.
Yeah, and also the fact that like he's my size, you know.
True.
He was my guy, you know.
So, you obviously, you know, kept wrestling. Were you a backyard guy?
No. I wish, man. I would have loved to. I never had any friends that watched wrestling when I was a kid.
Really?
When I was a kid, it was like on. I feel like it was like on the downhill. You know, like nobody no kids watched wrestling. Like. I had one, maybe two that like kind of watched it like casually, you know, but nobody like really watched it like I did.
Did you have to like hide it?
I mean, I wouldn't say I had to hide it, but like it wasn't like I could just like, I mean, my friends knew that I liked wrestling, but I couldn't like talk to them about it. You know, they would be like, dude, nobody cares. Like, you know, nobody cares about your wrestling. Like, shut up. That's stupid.
Now, what part of Georgia did you grow up in?
I'm from Snellville. It's like a few miles. It's like right next to the Stone Mountain. So oh, like sure. 30 minutes outside of Atlanta.
That's not bad. Cool. So you're what, northeast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. So yeah, you're close enough to the city, you know, to be able to get to stuff, but you're far enough away to not be like dealing with it, basically.
To not deal with traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
So
unfortunately, now I work in Atlanta,
oh,
which
gross.
Sucks because I have to drive to Atlanta every day. But whatever.
That's gross.
Yeah, it sucks.
So, did you know like this is the one thing I want to do? This is all I ever want to do. Did you know like at age 7 I'm going to be a professional wrestler?
Yeah, definitely. I remember. I don't know if this was like the moment I decided I wanted to be a wrestler or what. But I just remember watching, like, an episode of SmackDown, and I feel like, I want to say it was, like, Rey Mysterio and Batista versus Eminem in a steel cage or something like that, and it was, like, the first steel cage match I'd ever seen, and I was like, this is awesome, and I was, you know, I'm jumping up and down in my living room, and, like, I'm super excited about it or whatever, and I don't know if that was, like, when I decided, like, oh, I'm going to be a wrestler, and I feel like, obviously, like, as I got older, the you know, desire to be a pro wrestler got bigger and bigger. But I don't know. I feel like that might have been the time. And I remember, like, being real young, maybe 9 or 10 or whatever, and like telling my mom I wanted to be a wrestler, and she was like, oh, that's not realistic, whatever. You know, I don't know. She probably thought I was just like saying it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she
said, well, we all wanted to be a wrestler at that age. I wanted to too.
Yeah. So she just kind of brushed it off. And I remember like laying awake at night until like 1 a.m. or something. And then I like just crying. And I like went up to my mom and I woke her up and I scared her. And she was like, what's wrong? And I was like, well, you said I couldn't be a wrestler. And she was like, oh, you can be whatever you want. You know, just kind of shrugging me off still. But I don't know. I just thought that was funny. That, like, I was so upset that she said that.
So you especially knew.
Like, at that age, you know?
You knew.
Yeah. I knew that, and especially, like, when I graduated high school, I was like, I don't know if I can do this, but if I don't try, I'm going to hate myself forever. So I got to at least try to do this, you know? It was a big decision. It's a big decision for anybody that wants to do it.
Oh, sure.
Going into the ring for the first time is so nerve-wracking, you know, just the lead up to it. And then once you're there, I feel like once you're there, once you've paid for it or whatever, like you're like, okay, it's easy. But like the decision to like do it is it's a big commitment, you know.
Oh, I will rarely, if ever, like I can count on one hand the number of times I've stepped in a ring, and that's only if ever invited, because I haven't earned it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, yeah, no, it's a big mental step.
Yeah, it's really nerve-wracking, especially at that age, like 18, like that's the age you're supposed to decide like what you're going to do for the rest of your life or whatever. And, you know, that I was like, well, I'm going to be a wrestler, and if I don't try it now, you know, I'll probably hate myself, so better try it now. And if I suck at it, you know, at least I'll know. You know, I'll be upset about it for sure, but at least I'll know that, like, I sucked at it.
So where'd you go to train?
I started training at the WWA 4 in Atlanta.
Sure.
You know, I was driving hour, 15 minutes every day after work, after my job at the pizza place, you know. And
that's a very wrestler story, by the way.
I know, right? I was just thinking that. I've never, like, said that out loud. Like, leaving my job at the pizza place to go train to be a pro wrestler.
It's so very pro wrestling.
But you know, yeah, and I would just go there for I did that for maybe a year and a half, and then I started going to the Power Factory in Norcross, Georgia, and I was kind of doing both for a while, and then I just started going to the Power Factory pretty much every day, and yeah, I still train there. So
you've had some very experienced, interesting teachers, and I want to sort of go into that. WA4, the teacher there is AR Fox.
Yeah.
And he is one style of teacher, and your teacher now is QT Marshall, or QT Marshall, whichever day of the week it is. He's a very different style of teacher. Talk about the style of training with AR Fox and style of training with QT.
So I love that I've trained with both of them, because mm-hmm. They literally, I don't think they could be more different, and both very good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think they're both very good at what they do. And they're both very good teachers too, I think, but also in their own way, you know? So training with Fox is basically, he has a more, I guess you could say, a more modern style, and he's been doing it for a long time. Like, he started, you know, the earliest matches I've seen from him are in, like, Dragon Gate USA and like old Evolve, like 2010 Evolve, you know. And I don't know if you ever seen those matches, but especially for their time, bro, they're so crazy, and they're so creative, and they just do so many different things that, you know, especially at that time, you've never seen before.
Oh, he's still innovating. He's been an innovator for a decade and a half now.
Yeah, definitely. He's off the wall, just like, you know, so creative, and just he'll just sit in a ring and just mess around until he thinks of something cool to do, and then, you know, he'll do it. And sometimes he comes up with crazy stuff and it works, and sometimes it doesn't. I've seen him try stuff that, like, just doesn't work, you know. But that's just part of the process. And he is another guy that I watch wrestle, and he has this, like, flippy style, I guess, like a flippy guy or whatever, you know, you want to call him.
That's the rep, yeah.
Yeah, and but he never does anything that you would think, is a joke. He never does anything unrealistic and never does anything like stupid as far as like things that would make sense. He does the flips and he does the cool moves and stuff, but he puts them in places and matches that make sense. And, you know, he never does, there's no wasted motion with Fox. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of cool stuff that, you know, he makes sure that nobody is going to look at it and be like, well, that didn't make sense. Why did you do that there? You know, or whatever. That's just cause he always told me, watch the guys who make money, you know? And so, and,
that's a good philosophy actually.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And then on the other end of that, you know, you got QT, who is, you know, he was trained by the Dudleys and a few other like old school guys. He was trained at the Monster Factory, and he's just super like old school. I don't want to say old school, but you know, kind of a little bit. You know,
fundamentals.
He has the psychology of everything down to a T. You know, and he's very good at the basics. He's like one of the best at doing the basics, you know, and I think that's what makes him so good. And he's very good at like promos and character and like what to do and like facial expressions and all that good stuff. And, you know,
it's like a Tim Duncan versus an Allen Iverson, basically.
Say what?
It's like a Tim Duncan versus an Allen Iverson, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I love training at the Power Factory just because, you know, it's a little bit of everything. And he appreciates, he's told me multiple times, he appreciates the style that Fox wrestles, but, you know, he can't do that stuff. So, you know, do what you're good at and be conservative with your movements and, you know, just really make sure that, you know, you don't do anything that you can't do. Because there are definitely some guys in wrestling that, you know, try stuff that they can't do. And QT, you know, he can do a 450. He's actually pretty athletic for how big he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never going to do anything that, one, he can't do better than anything else, than anyone else. And then also, he's definitely not going to do anything that he can't do. You know, a lot of people do that. I think nowadays they try stuff that they can't do and it just doesn't come out good. Just stick to what you're good at, you know? And, yeah, I love working there, man. They have 3 rings up now, and you know, they have a full blown gym and a trainer and a nutritionist, and it's great.
And that's a lot of stuff you don't see. I mean, a nutritionist is something you don't see at a wrestling school in 99.9% of cases, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's his wife, and she sets you up with a meal plan, and you know, she's very good. She knows what she's doing.
And so, I mean, at WWE4, you met guys like AC Mack and Bobby Flacco. And then who are some of your running buddies at One Fall Power Factory?
So Cody Vance, he's one of the main guys there.
Just signed with AEW.
Uh-huh. Anna Jay, who also just got signed as well. Matt Sells trains there. Yep. Guys like that, you know.
Yeah, Matt Sells been on the show. That's a guy to learn from.
You know, yeah,
that's a guy who's been there, done it, seen it, experienced it, lived it. I mean, that guy's just a wealth of information.
Yeah, for sure. Super nice guy too.
Yeah, yeah, and enjoys his beers. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. His beers and baseball. That's Matt Sells.
That is Matt Sells, most definitely. So you know, you're going through training. I always like to ask this question: at what point do they spring you loose to have matches? Do you think you're ready? Do they say you're ready? Do you think you're too ready? Like, at what point do you have your first match? Are you scared to death? You know, I'm always interested in that breakout moment.
Yeah, everyone does it differently, you know. Personally, I had my first match, let's see, maybe, I think I had it like 10 weeks after I first started training.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that, something ridiculous like that. I don't think, and on top of that, like I was hurt for like 4 of those 10 weeks.
Oh shit.
So like, I don't know if I was ready. I certainly felt like I was ready at the time. And I've gone back and I've watched my first match and it's not horrible. It's definitely not bad for a first match, but I mean, I don't know. It depends on like what your definition of a bad first match is, because there are guys I know that train for, especially like back in the day, you know, they trained for a long time before they ever you know, step foot in front of a crowd. And like, I don't know. So it just depends on who you're talking to. But I think it was a decent first match. And considering it was only in front of, I don't know, like maybe 20, 25 people.
That'll help.
Yeah, it wasn't like, it wasn't a big deal, but I was definitely super nervous going out there. I definitely think you should have gear because I didn't have gear.
Oh, sure.
I just wore like Adidas pants, you know, and like amateur wrestling shoes. But I think that should be a requirement that you have gear. But besides that, I think it really just depends on the person.
So one thing that you do, and I don't know how early you started this, but you travel a good bit. Was that instilled in you from a very young point in the business, or did you kind of say, okay, I'm in this for a year or two, now I'm going to start to travel?
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure when I let's see, I feel like it was like November of 2016, so, you know, yeah, I've been traveling for a long time, but I, like my first show that wasn't a school show was in Dyersburg, Tennessee.
Woo.
And I still think it's one of the worst shows, probably the worst show that I've ever done. It was like in a barn.
There was
legit like hay on the floor, like, you know, and there was like 20 people out there or something like that. And then in the ring was like, so the smallest ring that there usually is like a 14 by 14. Mm-hmm. I feel like this was like 12 by 12, you know. It was so small,
and
the ropes
around
were weird, and, you know, it was just a bad show. But I ended up, I drove 7 hours for that show.
Shit.
But, you know, at the same time, I would do it again for sure. It was fun. It was a great time. One of the guys at the school was just like, hey, I got this booking up here. You guys want to come? And we did, and we all got on the show and stuff. So, yeah.
So pretty early on, you started to get a little bit of buzz. I started to see you at Action. I started to see you at SUP. I started to see you. You've worked Southern Fried. You've worked Southern Honor. At what point did those kind of larger bookings kind of come your way? Were you kind of an early bloomer, or do you have to work for it?
A little bit of both. I feel like I was maybe a little bit of an early bloomer or whatever, but I definitely had to work hard, you know. If you never heard of the Landmark Arena in Cornelia, Georgia.
Been there many a time, brother. Been there many a time.
Yeah. That's like where I pretty much got my reps in, you know. I was there every Friday, you know,
and for those who haven't been to the Landmark Arena,
it's called NCW.
It's an actual barn.
Yeah, a literal barn.
Literal barn.
But like on the inside, it looks like an arena. It's actually pretty impressive, like how much, you know, they renovated it. But we started up someone at the beginning of like 2000, I guess 18. So in 2017, I was basically just wrestling like random shows and stuff, and then 2018. I guess maybe 2017. I don't know, but I got a message and it said, "Hey, we're rebooting NWA Wildside in the Landmark Arena," which, if you don't know, is a show that was on a long time ago. It's kind of like a feeding thing for WCW, and I was like, "Okay, I'm down to do it." And I was in the very first match of the first show, and you know, I wrestled there every Friday for like maybe a year and a half, and eventually I ended up winning the main title there, but then that place shut down, or that promotion, I should say, should shut down.
Was that Rick's
and
deal?
And then after that, I was kind of like just going around doing whatever, but I think that definitely helped all of the, you know, doing matches in front of crowds every week. You know, it was definitely super helpful, and I feel like that also kind of got my name out there, you know, winning the main belt. It wasn't anything like super big, but you know, people kind of take notice. And then Southern Honor started up, and then I think that's where my name really got out there, doing Southern Honor and Southern Fried. And then I just started traveling around everywhere, just being a helping hand, you know. I feel like that's a big thing, helping setting up rings, just being there on time, being respectful, stuff like that. I just tried to travel wherever I could. And, you know, if somebody, I remember one time somebody hit me up, my friend Chris Crunk, he hit me up. He was like, hey, do you want to come up to New York with us or Rhode Island, as a matter of fact, and do a show? And I was like, I guess. And that was like the day of, and I ended up going up there. So, you know, it's all about just doing what you got to do to get up, to get your name out.
I love those trips, though. It's just like, let's hop in the car, let's drive 20 hours. Let's just do it for the sake of doing it, man. That's the best.
Yeah. Pop with your friends. We were definitely sick of each other by the end of it, though, for sure.
I'm not going to say anything about Crunk, but sure. Sure. I'll agree. So, I've known you best from action. I think that's where, at least in my mind, you really established yourself some of the best, and really become a part of the fabric there. Talk about, I want to contrast this, the crowd at Action and the crowd at SUP, because the Action crowd is a family crowd. There are literal dozens of children there. It's, you know, in a community center, and then the crowd at SUP is in a bar. Everyone's schmammered. Both shows are a blast. They're both my two home promotions, but they couldn't be more night and day as far as crowds. How do you as a performer gear up differently, create your persona differently, and wrestle differently in front of crowds that are night and day like that?
Yeah. Well, for me personally, I think for some reason, and I don't know why, I don't know, like, maybe once I get a few more years of experience in, I'll understand why this is, but I feel like I appeal to, like, kids more, you know? And I feel like I appeal to, like, a more general audience, which is why I'm a babyface at Action, but a heel at SUP. Because for some reason, adults just hate me. I don't know what it is. Like, they just...
I think,
like,
you're a nice guy, but sure.
Yeah, well, they'll get behind me, like, if I'm playing, but I feel like at Action, like, I'm actually, like, I don't want to say, I guess, over, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Action... Like,
I'm there, you're over. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm legitimately over, where as when I was playing a baby face at SUP, I was doing just that. I feel like I was playing a baby face, you know? I feel like they were, again, we go back to they were cheering me because they felt they had to, as opposed to legitimately liking me and wanting to cheer me. So then when I turned a heel, I feel like it's a lot more natural, you know? I feel like I'm a much better heel in that environment, as opposed to in Action. I do feel like I'm a better baby face. I feel like in general I'm a better baby face.
I was like, do you like playing baby face better, or do you like playing heel better?
Man, that's a hard one. I don't know. I think you can do more as a heel, but I don't know. I like having that connection with the crowd. You know, I like being a baby face for sure. I think I'm a better baby face than I am a heel. But again, it just depends on the crowd. I feel like if it's a more mature environment, I'm a better heel. But if it's a, you know, more PG type show, then I'm a better baby face. I'm not sure why that is, but, you know, go figure.
That makes sense. No, definitely. And you've had some killer matches at both shows. What are some of the more proud matches you've had? You know, my mind immediately goes to the Zach Cooper match, but I mean, you've had some killer matches across the board. What are some of the ones that really register with you?
Yeah, that seems to be the match that everybody always talks about, the Zach Cooper match. It's probably my favorite match of last year. It felt so real to me, you know? It felt so, like, I love wrestling guys bigger than me. I think it forces me to be more aggressive and forces me to be more, I guess, yeah, real. I don't know. Like, it just, it brings the best out of me. So I really like that match. Zach Cooper is a cool dude. He's down to do whatever. You know, he's a nut. He's crazy.
He's completely psycho. He's been on this show, and I've talked to him, and I'm just like, I love you, but you're stupid.
That's accurate, but he's a super smart guy.
Oh, he is. He's great. Crazy, he's an awesome dude. I love him to death, but he takes the stupidest bumps, and you fed him to him, so you're party to it.
Yeah, true. But yeah, him, I really liked my match with Marco Stunt that I had at Action, like, 2018. I think it was, like October, so that was a while ago. And then, what else? I had a match with Tommy Maserati at Action that was really fun. It was really good.
That told a really good story.
Yeah, that was definitely up there. I thought it was cool because Tommy, I don't know if you've like watched that match on IWTV, but he did a little promo that he made himself. It was like a little video package. It was just him talking, but it had like, you know, me wrestling and him wrestling. It was just like highlights and clips of us wrestling each other and like other people. And he was like talking in the background of it. And it was like a good 3 minutes, and they actually put it on the IWTV stream. So, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. So we got a little video package before our match. And then, you know, all the WWA 4 kids being out there during was pretty cool as well.
Yeah, I could tell that meant a lot to you guys.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, that was Tommy's last match. And, you know, and I feel like if it wasn't a match worth being his last match, that he would have had another one. So, you know, I'm glad he really liked it. I'm glad it was a good last match for him. And then also the first ever Action title match. It was me, Slim J, AC Mack, and Ike Cross. And AC Mack went on to win it, but me, Slim, Mack, and Ike, we're all really proud of that match.
Yeah, that was a killer. That was absolutely a killer. So who are some of the guys you'd like to work?
That I like to work? Man, the easy answer is probably AC Mack, you know? Mm-hmm. I think I've wrestled him more than I've wrestled anybody else. I've wrestled him multiple times at Southern Honor. We've had the match at Action. We had, you know, we've wrestled everywhere. So he's probably an easy answer just because we know each other so well.
No, who would you like to work?
Who would I like to work? That's a good question. I really would like to work Joe Black, if you know. I'm sure you know who that is. He's killer talent for sure.
That dude has 0% body fat too.
I know, it's ridiculous. I'd like to work who else I'd like to get a third match with Zach Cooper for sure, because we're 1-1 right now, so I'd like to get that. And then I'd really like to work Manders, Ben Carter. We were supposed to have a match at one of the Action shows, but, you know, because of the quarantine, it didn't happen. So hopefully we still get around to that, because that's definitely a match that I really, really want. I really want to work what's his name? I feel bad now. But, there's a lot of guys for sure. That whole scene is like ridiculous. There's so much talent, you know.
Yeah, it's only getting better too.
Yeah, I agree. And like, the South is like ridiculous right now. I think it's so like has so much like untapped potential.
Yeah.
You know, when I say the South, I mean like Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, like Alabama. Even like there's like so many guys that I feel like just. I don't want to say they're not being utilized, but like just nobody sees them, just because I feel like the South was never, especially since WCW was, you know, bought out. I feel like nobody has really paid attention to anything that goes on in the South as far as independent wrestling goes.
And now it's blown up.
Yeah, I think especially in the last like definitely since I started wrestling, like 2017, 2018, like stuff was starting, and then like 2019 was really just a huge year for, you know, Southern wrestling. And I hope it stays that way. I hope we can just keep riding this momentum. Hopefully this virus doesn't slow us down.
So speaking of the virus, you're one of the few people who've been active during the virus, and active in a big way. You've had some opportunities to actually work national television. I want to hear everything about your experience at AEW. What it's like to work in front of no crowd or limited, I mean, in front of fellow workers. Yep. What it's like to work Kenny Omega and Lance Archer. Tell me everything.
So, as far as the no crowd goes, I do feel like, honestly, like, and I mean, maybe this is just me being my biggest critic, but I feel like my Kenny Omega match certainly wasn't one of my best performances at all. I think I did fine, you know, it wasn't horrible for sure. But I do feel like I definitely could have been better. And if there was a crowd there, I feel like it could have been better.
Was it weird?
But that's just in hindsight, you know.
Is it weird?
I didn't really think about there not being a crowd. You know, I don't want to say I wasn't nervous because I was a little nervous, but I, you know, it just felt like another match to me. I get a little nervous before every match. But, you know, it wasn't like anything, because, you know, I feel like in my mind, I feel like I'm meant to be there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to freak out about something like that. Because it's what I do. You know, I wrestle. That's all I do. So, you know, I wasn't overwhelmed by it at all. But wrestling Kenny was awesome. You know, he's just as good as everybody says he is. Super smooth. Just, you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. You know, he'll never, you know, he's not gonna mess you up in any kind of way. And he knows how to get someone over, obviously, you know.
So, were you surprised that he gave you as much offense as he did? Because that's everyone was talking about, was just like, look, Kenny Omega gave this unknown Allen Eagles, you know, a bunch of offense, and that was the talk of the internet for a few days. And of course, I know you, so I was proud as a peacock of you. But, you know, you held your ground in that match.
Yeah. I was definitely surprised at how much he wanted to do. We only had 4 minutes, but we ended up going like 6.5, which, I mean, he's the EVP, so, you know, what are you going to do?
True.
And, you know, while we were calling it, I was like, this seems a little longer than 4 minutes, but, you know, I'm not going to argue with you because, one, you're the EVP, so, you know, I can't say no. And then, two, like, it's in my favor. So, you know, it was definitely shocking for sure. But I'm forever grateful that he gave me as much as he did.
Is he real snug or is he real light?
I mean, it was all pretty safe. Cool. I can't really think of anything that, the power bomb was a little there for sure.
Sure.
But
sure.
Besides that, that knee that everybody kind of freaked out about, the first one, it was fine, you know.
Yeah, and you took it like a champ, too.
Yeah, I was real proud of myself on that one.
And then you worked Lance Archer. How is working that dude? Because it looks like you get demolished.
Yeah, that one was probably... mm-hmm. I was probably more nervous for that one, honestly. That one was...
that's a lot of dude.
Big dude,
yeah,
so...
That's a lot of human being.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys, like, if he wanted to, he could legitimately kill you, so... it was nerve-wracking for sure, and I just kind of went out there and took it. But he was nice. He's a nice guy. You know, he's just huge.
Now, how is the AEW locker room? How is the whole – I've heard it was really professional. I heard they tested everybody before and after, or they, like, temperature check people. They had – I heard the whole setup was first class.
Yeah, when you get there, we had to go to the doctor, and he just checked us out and made sure – asked us a few questions and made sure we weren't sick or anything like that. So, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, it's super professional backstage. I've been, you know, an extra on NXT, Raw, SmackDown, Ring of Honor, stuff like that. And I will say that the AEW locker room is probably my favorite. Everybody there is super nice, super respectful. Everybody's just... you know, you get a general feel of just like everybody's happy to be there. You know what I'm saying? Everybody like wants to, you know, put on a great show, and everybody wants to, you know, do the best they can. And on top of that, everybody's just super nice. You know, everybody will talk to you. Nobody's gonna look down on you or anything like that. You know, they're the guys that, they just kind of sit there in their own little section or whatever, but, you know, it's not like they're assholes or anything. They're just, everybody's super nice. Yeah.
Now, and you have a relationship with Cody, right?
Say what?
You have a relationship from Cody with Cody from One Fall, right?
Yeah. Cody, Vance.
Oh no, Cody, Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes. I mean, you know, he knows my name. He knows who I am and stuff.
Sure. Cause I heard he works out there a lot, and I heard he's
yeah, he does. He you know, he knows my name and stuff, and you know, his trainer's the same as mine, so
cool. Very cool. Yeah, and you, I mean, you definitely got your name out there with AEW, and you know, definitely did yourself proud out there. So, what's next on the docket for you? I mean, obviously, when Corona breaks, do you have big plans? You're just kind of playing the waiting game like everyone else, basically.
Yeah, man. I don't think anybody knows when we'll be back. Hopefully by SCI. That's when I would like to be back. You know.
Same here, like, dude. Same here.
But no, I don't really know anything. I'd like to get, it kind of sucks. Like, it's awesome that all this happened, but it also kind of sucks because, you know, a lot can change in 30 days, you know, and like everybody just forgets that, you know, you were on national TV wrestling Kenny Omega. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, not much changed, but, you know, I'm just going to keep grinding and keep doing the same thing I've been doing. You know, like, I would just be in action and be in at SUP and all that stuff. My goal is to, you know, get on some big shows, go out west and do some shows over there. And hopefully, you know, the Kenny match will help me out a little bit. But if it doesn't, you know, I feel like it's just going to be the same thing, and nothing wrong with that. I'm just going to keep grinding until I get that sweet contract from somebody.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest right now is a really hot area. If you're looking out west, I would look in that Seattle, Portland, you know, Washington State area, because that
I want to get there for sure.
That's the next growing area, I think, is going to be the next spotlight, is going to be the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. WAC and Defy, dude, I feel like those are the two big promotions out there I really want to get to.
Yeah, they're blowing up right now. And I think that, I think one of the one, I don't want to say good, but, you know, things that have benefited independent wrestling has been with IWTV and, you know, the streaming services and things like that. People have been able to take a pause right now and look at some wrestling they wouldn't otherwise look at. So maybe people who haven't seen Action, maybe people who haven't seen, you know, Southern Honor, maybe people who haven't seen SUP, and, you know, in my case, haven't seen, you know, Defy, haven't seen, you know, WAC, things like that. You know, I can actually, you know, God knows we have time on our hands, you know. So we can actually take a pause and look at some of these promotions. It's just like, oh man, there's good shit happening out there.
Yeah, definitely. I would have to ask Matt. I wonder if any of the Action numbers have gone up on IWTV. That would be interesting to check out. But, you know, they uploaded a few matches to like their YouTube, and I know they got a good amount of views and stuff. So, I hope everybody's taking their time to just watch wrestling, and I hope the wrestlers are taking time to study wrestling and, you know, improve themselves to work out, get in the gym, and then, you know, watch wrestling, study wrestling, and try and get better mentally as well.
Yeah, I'm sure too, a lot of those nagging injuries, you actually get to heal now.
Had a broken finger, like the same finger has been broken for like a year now, and it's finally like healing, and it's great. I love it.
Yeah, all that little nagging stuff that like you just ignored for the last year or two, you can actually just like, oh man, I can actually use my finger now. What a concept.
Yeah, it was great. It's great. It was like super swollen, and like it's just like it looks fatter than the rest of my fingers, and now it's finally, the swelling has gone down after like a year, and I can bend it all the way. It's great.
It's no longer gnarly.
Yeah.
So if people want to find you, if people want to find your stuff, you have merch too, right?
So I'm trying to set up a pro wrestling tee store, but like something's going on with the website or something. I'm not sure. So, sure. I'm going to try and figure that out. But I'll post a link on my, my Twitter when I do get it up. Sure. Twitter is, Alan_Angels. And then the Instagram is Alan_Angels_, or vice versa. I don't know, either way, but yeah. And then I have a Facebook and stuff, and you can just look me up, Alan Angels.
Cool. Cool. Good stuff, man. Well, Alan, thank you so much, man, for being on the show. We're all rooting for you. You're a hell of a talent, and just a hell of a guy too, man. We really appreciate you being on.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I love doing like podcasts and stuff like this. So thank you.
Thank you. On Placement Nation 548, JT Scott and guest Kevin Pittack are back in the home office for a dive in the 10-19-90 MSG House Show. In the second episode of Great Debate Wrestling, Andy is joined by Steve Willie, Jordan Duncan, and Chad Campbell. On the newest episode of Jenny and the Gems, the band travels back to March 94 for the March to WrestleMania 10, Yokozuna, Incredible Randy Savage promo, and so much more. Scott and Dr. G are back with the newest episode of NWA Saturday Night Special, where they go back to April 2019 for the rebirth of the Crockett Cup.
Our newest main event, Scott, Nate, and Steve discuss the WWE departures and where they may go, as well as Dark Side of the Ring and some classic WCW match picks. And my last episode of Row 1, Seat 1 has Bradley Prescott IV to discuss his wildlife and independent wrestling. Check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed with great shows that include the Glenn Butler Hour, Podcast Hour Spectacular, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, Great Debate, Marvel Age, and so much more. Check out the Jenny Position, home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, Brother Sister Rewatch, Journey Through Infinity, and a lot more. And the new North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. It's home of Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Lorenz Wrestling, the Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, and a whole bunch more. They've been adding on podcasts like crazy. We kicked off our 2020 stretch project. Go to facebook.com/GWCWMatches or the Pro Wrestling Only message board. It's the greatest WCW match ever project, so it should be a blast there. Our social media page just has the greatest junk food of all time tournament. Remember to vote every day. Check out PlaceOfMination.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on the topics of world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, The Week in WWE, Paulie's Perspective, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping on Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of Place to Be Nation or use PlaceOfMination.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps support Place to Be Nation with no cost to you. Tell me where did you sleep last night?